Can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're alive. You got me, Kevin Hagelin, the famous Mike Bacsik, the soon-to-be even more famous Alec Medford, and at his home, Corey Majors. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. How are we doing today?
Dude, I'm doing great because I'm seeing big-time Plano right now on YouTube and Twitch. Corey is at his new house. I don't think you did this from COVID, right? COVID, you're at the corner house in Plano.
Yeah, that's right.
What was the address that if people wanted to go by? And
27.
No, I'm just kidding. Don't
you know
say
what?
It.
Yeah,
I but do that. Coming into the show today, I thought, okay, it's a Friday. We'll talk playoff football. We'll talk a little bit of Mavs and Stars and Rangers, and we're gonna do that. But all of a sudden, you know, we get to start the show off because Jerry did it. Jerry did exactly what I thought he would do on a Friday.
No, he didn't. And you read the words on it. They're still open to negotiations. Of course, that's what they were before. This isn't news, actually. Honestly, it's just continued information that we already had that they decided to release on a Friday because, hey, let's throw it out on a Friday so we can capture headlines after Notre Dame does something special last night.
He'll be at the game tonight, the Cotton
Bowl.
So
it's a good point.
So yeah. Now media can go to Jerry and ask follow-up questions.
And Micah's going to be there. Micah's going to be there, too. So, hey, do they go find Micah because he's in the suite with Jerry and ask him
and say,
a couple questions?
And say, it looks like you guys are bringing back Mike McCarthy. And, you know, so now all of us, I didn't even think of that.
We completely can ignore the Cotton Bowl.
Yeah, we were 15 minutes ago. Sean Sharif brought us kind of the headline. And now we're all in our head starting to put it together how Jerry makes this weekend about the Cowboys instead of about the playoffs.
Yeah, I probably sound very frustrated by it today because, Kevin, I put up with a whole year last year, off season, of like, what are we going to do storylines? And as I told you many times, I had no answer to Mike Bacsik. I'm just going to say Mike because that's the way it's supposed to be. I had no answer to Mike. Whenever he was upset about something, he was like, well, how are they going to do this? I was like, crap, I don't know. And I think it feels like this is just going to be another offseason of that. I think that's what Sean was kind of speaking to just a minute ago, is that feeling of just, good gosh, it was already rough enough last year, and you're going to put us through this again this year. They got to find something that's going to give me real energy about this franchise again.
I think that's a great point because that's what I'm curious about too. I know it's going to be something. But what are they going to sell? Because this is probably a waste of time. I'm going to preemptively poke some holes in what I think they're going to try to sell.
Yes!
Hey, don't worry, everybody. Dak Prescott is back. Hell yeah. Just remember that the team was not doing well when Dak Prescott was here. Okay? And we're getting some of our injured players back. Trayvon Diggs, he's coming back. Okay, just remember, this is two straight years now that he's been hurt. And as Frank Provenzano used to always say, you know what the problem is with injured players? They get injured.
They get injured.
And so, like, I'm just curious what they're going to sell because Steven and Jerry have already come out and said, hey, don't look for us to change our cap philosophy, which they could. Look, we've talked about this many, many times. They just don't want to find themselves in a Rams situation, in a Saints situation, even if it means potentially winning. They're not going to do that. So they're not going to spend. They clearly undercut their draft position as high as it could have been, down to 12th in each round. They already gave away their fourth round draft pick for something that didn't make an impact whatsoever.
He had a few catches.
Yeah, they're bringing back the exact same head coach. They're just now going to start the Dak contract, which remember, that salary cap hits $89 million next year. Like, what are they going to sell? Besides, I'll tell you this. When I say, what are they going to sell? I'm going to watch because I love the Cowboys, because I was born here in the Metroplex and I watched football with my mom, and now I've passed it on and watched football with my sons. That's why I'm going to watch, because it's part of my childhood and the way I grew up. That doesn't mean I always love it. And in fact, a lot of times I get really, really mad but I'm still going to watch it. So I want to know what they're going to sell to maybe the people who are not like me, or I'm guessing Corey, or that used to be like Mike, who were like, I'll watch it either way.
Kevin, I need to... You balance the checkbook and you do all those things to you know, keep it all in order. And you just said something that kind of piqued my interest, because what are the negatives of spending? What are the positives of spending? Because you just pointed out, like, winning is one of the positives of spending. Like,
sure.
You
potentially
could win.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could also, you can lose and spend. Like,
for
that,
sure,
that can happen. And I'm just trying to figure out in their mind, what's the problem? How does that outweigh it? How, you know, what outweighs it so much that they're like, no, we're keeping a flat balance sheet. We're trying to stay as flat as possible, and we're just hoping that we're good enough. Because you said it yesterday, whenever you get to that point, whenever you get to the teams that have done those things and you're in the playoffs and you've just kind of done what you've done, you're just hanging around the rim, that's when you get pumped, because they're like, hey, no, we actually added the thing that we needed for this team. What's the negative of spending that keeps them from doing it? The possibility of failure?
Okay, so let's look at two teams. It actually is super helpful that there's two teams out there right now that I think you can see the pros and cons of going that route. The Rams and the Saints, right? So both were like, the hell with the salary cap. Let's do whatever we got to do. So for the Rams, what happened?
They won it.
They won the Super Bowl. And, like, obviously, they're still in the playoffs right now. Well, let's even say they weren't in the playoffs. Do you think Rams fans are, like, super bent out of shape about that? Or they're like, hey, I hope we get better, but we did win the Super Bowl.
I you know what? Let's call some Rams fans up first, because I'm just going to guess.
Like three.
There's more than Chargers fans.
Yeah, two. There's only two Chargers fans.
But I mean, I presume that they're like, oh yeah, we did have it, and that's the price we had to pay for it, and we believe that our guy is going to try and pay that price again to go get it again, because they loved winning that much. You see that kind of passion in their head coach. He keeps coming back for it. It feels like they're going after it. And hell, look, they're in the playoffs right now.
And
they're
so,
in the playoffs right now, rocking.
And so, but the flip side that people will point to, I think the Jones family will point to, is the Saints, right? The Saints did the exact same thing. And last year, they were $80 million over the cap, and they had to just start cutting people left and right. This year, they're going to go into the offseason, $66 million over the cap, and they're going to have to be cutting people left and right. And what did it get them? Nothing. They didn't have a lot of success. They still don't have their quarterback. The issue I have is, I think that argument works for the Saints.
Yeah.
I think that argument works for the Mavericks, for the Rangers, and for the Stars. And what I mean by that is, you've talked about this before, Mike. We've all talked about it. They need to win to matter. Look, I hate saying this. I love the Texas Rangers. Them going and winning the World Series in 2023 will always be one of the greatest things I've ever seen in the history of sports. But people nationally were like, man, nobody cares. That's fine.
In fact, it was like horrible for baseball.
Exactly.
And especially because they played against the Diamondbacks.
Exactly. I think when the Cowboys make this argument that we need to win to stay relevant, I think that is a nonsense argument. Now, if they were nothing for five straight years, I don't know, maybe. It still feels like the Knicks, who haven't won a championship in 50 years, get plenty of coverage when they ebb and flow.
Yeah.
I don't buy it with the Cowboys. That's why I hate their argument about, well, we can't go all in on the salary cap, because what if it blows up in our face? We need to stay relevant. You're the Cowboys. You are relevant.
You just gave me a coin flip, Kevin. Like, you gave me a 50-50. It could be good, it could be bad. And they've taken the same route and gotten no result, no true result from it, other than, guys, we had a, I don't know if you know, our quarterback finished second in MVP voting, and
sure,
we had 12 wins three straight years in a row, and bookend that with two crap seasons. But that's where I am actually kind of glad, Mike, that they did this morning. I am kind of glad, because I woke up and I was like, hey, let's take a load off. You know, we got some snow, we got some ice, and now I'm pissed off today, and I want to get after it a little bit.
Let me throw this out, my opinion on this. Mike McCarthy has quit caring about being a great head coach. If he comes back here, which it sounds like he is, it sounds like what Jerry's going to do is say, this was a do or die season for you to have total control of these things. You are now losing control of the offensive coordinator. You possibly are going to lose control of play calling. You're possibly going to have to let go of a couple of your coaches that you like, and we might go on the search for a coach here or there to help out the Dallas Cowboys. And when you say yes to that, you're saying, fine, give me $5 million or $3 million plus incentives. Like, I'll show up. And I'll do the job. I don't think Mike McCarthy's not going to do the job. I think he will do the job under a lot of restrictions. And under those restrictions, I'll throw this out. And I know I'm combining baseball with football here, and some people really hate that.
I love it.
Skip Schumacher would have left. Skip Schumacher left the Florida Marlins because he said, if you're going to strip me of these things, I quit. And he did. And he's considered one of the five, let's say, managers under 50 years old that everybody wants. And he said, I'm not doing this. And I think Ben Johnson, I think you're a big fan of Ben Johnson.
Yes, I am.
He would say, I'm not doing this. If these are my restrictions, I will not coach this team. And I think the premium guys, whether it's Sean McVay or whoever you think is a premium younger coach in football, would say, I am not working under these conditions in Dallas. I don't care that it's the most popular franchise. I cannot win under these conditions that you put on me. And I think when Mike McCarthy comes back for his sixth season, is saying, obviously you've made it clear to me you do not care about winning. I will take the money too.
And I know we need to talk more about McCarthy. There's a text that caught my attention, and there's a lot to get to here. Because I don't agree with this whatsoever. From the 469, a lot of y'all on your station shows have fallen in the trap of wanting the Cowboys to spend money and have more to talk about. Almost 100% wanted Dallas to sign Odell Beckham Jr. Okay, I'm just going to stop with that. Not our show. And also, I don't want the Cowboys to just spend money. I understand how the way I threw that out there could have been twisted a little bit. I don't want the Cowboys to just spend money. What I want the Cowboys to do is, like with the Mike extension, you can do the Mike extension in, you know, now in February, March-ish, or you can get it done in July when there's nobody left. I want the Cowboys to have the option if they think there are players out there that would help their team. I don't need the Cowboys to spend money for whatever reason. I just, like last year with Dak, with CeeDee Lamb, I just wanted them to have the option to pull the trigger on those extensions earlier. And so then you went into free agency and you're like, hey, I got $30 million worth of cap space. Is there anybody I want that's in the price tag I want? Yes. Great. Let's go get them. No, that's okay. Your salary cap space rolls over. That is where I do agree with that. But the Cowboys don't do that. They wait until the last minute and everybody keeps talking about it because they stay relevant. That's not a winning formula to me, and that is the part that bothers me.
Kevin's real big on building a war chest, and that's one of the things I love the most because you want something so you can go make that move. And look at Detroit. When they said, hey, we know we got Aiden Hutchinson. We know we got these guys that can go make something happen on the defensive side of the ball. You know what, though? It's not good enough. Let's go get more. Let's go get Za'Darius Smith. Let's add to this roster. Let's be even better because, yeah, they can take Aiden Hutchinson out of a game. They can take this out of a game. But you know what? We got another thing to come back at them with. We're just going to keep hitting them with our arsenal because we saved up properly so we could make something like this happen. That's what, Kevin, I want that. You keeping the war chest, it allows me to go get that and have Jerry be brilliant
if
and go getting those pieces.
If it's there.
Exactly. If it's there, go get it and add to it. Keep adding more. And then whenever something happens, like your team says, oh, crap, we got an injury here. Oh, no, this guy's hurt. And you go, well, what are we supposed to do this season? We had a bunch of young guys as the backups. No, you have a guy that's qualified to do it that can fill in the role and help you continue winning instead of going, man, we lost early and we might lose late too.
Okay, Mike, I feel bad because we haven't continued the McCarthy conversation.
Right. That's fine.
Maybe we can just pick it up in the next segment too, because I want to throw this out there because I don't just want to be the people who are like, I don't like this. I don't like this. I don't like this. What's your solution? Here is my solution. I would love the Cowboys to take the full brunt. Well,
yeah, full blunt.
However you're celebrating this morning, if you have a day off, I'll leave that up to you. I want them to take the full brunt of their poor decisions now. Like when DeMarcus, let's say DeMarcus Lawrence leaves and Zach Martin retires, don't set it up as a post June 1st cut where you eat part of the money in 2025 and you eat part of the money in 2026. Take the gut punch. Take all of the money off the books right now. I get it. That will hurt your ability to build a stronger team in 2025. I admit that. I readily admit that. But I'm okay with that because I think that puts you on better footing for 2026. Because what the Cowboys do that really annoys me is they're always like, well, let's keep one foot in and one foot out. I want them to either put both feet in or both feet out. And one way you can put both feet out in this next season is to go ahead and take the hit on Zach Martin, on DeMarcus Lawrence, to a certain extent, maybe with Dak Prescott. Take the hit now.
That's what the Rams did, and they have $60 million of cap space this offseason.
And by the way, they have their first-round draft pick again. Like, it's been a long road back for them, and I admit, they were in hell. And that's why I wanted to bring up the Saints and the Rams, Corey, because I didn't want to make it be like, well, if you do like the Rams, we're always going to win. That's not true. Or you could be the Jets, who are still searching for your quarterback. Or maybe the Patriots will continue to search for their quarterback. This could fall apart for any number of reasons. But Corey said it earlier. I know that you don't win this way.
Kevin, the way you were just throwing it, take the hit now, I think our mantra needs to be take the fall and act hurt. For one season, take the fall, act hurt. One season, and then, you know, pick it up next year. This might be the one to just take the fall and act hurt.
Okay, so this segment turned into a
bitching and moaning
about why the Cowboys and what they do bothers me. Yeah. But Mike, you've brought up an intriguing angle about Mike McCarthy that I do want to talk about. Are you afraid that he's turned into I'm here to cash my check coach? Let's talk about that next right here in The Fan.
As long as 49, Aller hit as he throws and it is intercepted. Christian Gray picks it off.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. We're going to get to that game because there's a lot of other things happening in sports. But I like the way Corey described it. There is a pseudo-breaking situationship.
That's what I'm going to go with.
Where Tom Pelissero said or tweeted out, after several days of discussions about the 2024 season and the future, Cowboys owner and Jerry Jones and Mike McCarthy remain open to moving forward together, and the sides are expected to open talks today about a new contract. Now, we used the last segment I'll admit, I got off topic and just talked about the fundamental way I dislike how the Jones family does business. But we should talk more about Mike McCarthy because that's not saying for sure he's back, but it sure does kind of seem like he's back. Mike, let me ask you, you were 50-50. Mm-hmm. When you hear this, what are you at now?
90-10.
That he's coming back?
I think the only way he doesn't come back, if negotiations go so bad that he says, I cannot accept this because you have stripped me of everything. How in the world am I supposed to, like, I think now Mike has lost his guts and his cojones. I think Mike McCarthy now is like, castrate me and I will show up and I will do the best job I can under these deals. But I don't have to move my family. I've been doing this for 5 years. So what? I do it for 6, maybe hopefully 7 years. I get another approximately $10 million in my bank account for me and my family. And I know this media now. I know how it works. I know definitely over the years how Jerry works, because I think it was very confusing to him in year one and year two, and he got used to it by year three, and now he knows everything that goes with this job, and he's going to be stripped more, and I call it castrated. He's just going to be castrated as a coach, and he's okay with it if he accepts this job.
I'm holding some cashew nuts right now. Mike is talking about castration.
And Jerry, I will say this. I think Jerry loves it when he can fully castrate his coaches. Mm-hmm. I think when he hires a new coach, he lets them have their testicles.
Yeah. I don't think that's
and then as it goes along, if it doesn't end up being a Super Bowl, which it kind of never has since the start of it, he likes really being in control of his coach. And I think now when Mike comes back, I think he will be in total control of that coach just being a show up coach.
I don't think that he likes that with just his head coach. Does that make, is that fair? I think Jerry is a type of person that he's like, I sit on top of the world, and everybody needs to understand their position below me. And he, you know, he put, he tried to put Sean and RJ in that place, didn't he? I mean, look, I can do whatever I want. Like, you guys, hold on. And when he really didn't understand that situation. But I'm in a little bit of a disagreement with you, Mike.
I understand. I'm not saying that my opinion is right. It's just my opinion.
And I wish I'd have taken that $1,000 bet now, because I said 88% back then. And mostly I was saying that, Mike, because I just didn't feel like Jerry had the desire to go find somebody else right now.
And give people control, right?
And for all these other, for whatever reason, he just didn't feel like he was like, I want to go through this. And when I look at Mike McCarthy, I don't think that he's just given in. And maybe, I don't think he's just going to collect a check. Let's see what that contract looks like, too, whenever they finally get to that point of negotiating it. Mike, your deadline is next Friday, then, is whenever
I think that's
gonna...
I just think the playing on the media to create the headlines that the playoffs aren't the most important part of the NFL. The Dallas Cowboys are the most important part of the NFL.
Okay, and so, and I agree with you on that. The thing about it, though, is I think that McCarthy, this is just listening to the David Moores, the Clarence Hills, the guys that are on the beat every day, and even some of the national reporters that talk about the real relationship that they have, that McCarthy and Jerry have together. We don't get that. We don't get those conversations between them. They say it to the public, and what if that is a real thing? They do like working with each other, and that's fair, but it wasn't good enough this year for Jerry, and I think McCarthy, if he wants to come back, should be demanding a lot more too, and saying, it wasn't good enough for me, what y'all, the position y'all put us in. I want to be here. Look, I coached the Green Bay Packers. I've been with the Saints. I was with the Niners. These are some class organizations, and I want to be the one that takes the Cowboys back to the Super Bowl. I think he really does want that, because Mike, that's a football guy. I don't think he's just a play around coach guy that's just here for that. He's a football guy, and he wants a legendary career to end this thing, I think. And so that's where, in my mind, I think he's more like, I'm going to demand more from Steven, and I'm going to demand more from Will McClay on the backside of this thing. But again, if it's a 2-year contract, what the crap are we even do? If it's a 4 or 5 year contract, then that's when I'm going to believe what I'm saying a lot more.
What do you think it's going to be then?
I think it'll be a 4-year contract. I think they're going to say, look, man, we're wanting to establish that he's here for a while. And if he doesn't win in 3, Kevin, I don't think that 4th year is going to be something we see.
Okay. So we will obviously keep an eye out on this. They're going to negotiate today. I can't imagine it gets announced today, but if it does, we'll be sure to bring you that information first.
Yeah, would you come back, Kevin, if you were McCarthy?
See, and this is where I struggle understanding the motivation of Mike McCarthy. Me personally, I would, because there's no bigger challenge to me than somebody saying you can't do something. But when McCarthy talks about he's a football guy, why? This is literally the last place in the NFL I would want to be then.
He wants to be the girlfriend that changes changes him.
Like, you're not gonna win. And that's what I get it. Like, maybe he's not gonna get another head coaching job. Personally, that's what I think. He's not gonna get another NFL head coaching job, and that's why he would stay here. But when he's like, I'm a football guy, this is the last place you should be. Because football matters, but it doesn't matter at the top.
No matter,
like, I like a lot of other places.
I hear what you're saying, and you know yourself obviously better than I know you. I feel like if there were a lot of guardrails on your job,
you would eventually leave. You would say,
I'm not doing this anymore. I respect myself too much to have such little control, but be the person who gets the most, I guess, even from Mike McCarthy. He wouldn't get all of, let's say, the credit, but he is going to get all the blame. And when you put so many guardrails on me of now I'm going to take most of the blame and not get most of the credit, that's not fun.
Okay, now I'm going to take the fall for combining football and baseball. I think about it all the time with my jobs. This is the way I felt at the newspaper, Corey. Are am I working for the Oakland A's? And what I mean by that is I always felt
Sacramento
like
Sacramento A's.
Yes, I'm sorry. That is a good point.
Even though on the schedule they're ATH, and my wife was asking me the other day as she was looking at the Rangers schedule and where I might be going, she's like, where is ATH? And for a second, Atlanta the hell.
Yeah. So I would always think, hey, can we overcome? Can we go against like our low payroll and budget and everything like that and still be in position to win? And then other times I think, maybe we can do all of those things, but your winning ends at a certain point because you're still the A's. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I wonder if McCarthy thinks about is like, hey, I can overcome this. Or I wonder if he gets to a certain point, whether it's the divisional round or whatever you think, where he's like, I can only win up to this point because the mechanisms are not in place for me to succeed beyond
that. I only want to kind of venture down this road a little bit too. He could go somewhere else. The Bears requested. I don't know if any other teams really are that desire him, but if I go somewhere else, I do kind of have to start over. And I do kind of like what I built here a little bit. But let me see. Do I need to get the leverage to negotiate this contract?
Yeah.
And I have it out there if I do need it. But, man, if we can press you to go ahead and make this deal now, then I'm here. And, Kevin, I think you and I know that experience personally. Hey, we could do something, but we like it here. Let's make this a freaking winner. And I love that idea, but I don't know if that's him, if that's his personality. I hope it is, because I want them to rise up. I want him to do that.
And maybe I shouldn't feel this way. I kind of feel bad for Mike McCarthy, but maybe I shouldn't. It's his ultimate decision. If he's coming back, and I obviously do not know all these stipulations on if he comes back, which it sounds like to me, my opinion, that 90% chance now Mike McCarthy is going to be the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys in 2025, is he's accepting all these stipulations most likely. So why should I feel sorry or bad for Mike McCarthy? And I do not think Mike McCarthy is on the same level of a Sean McVay, or I'm sorry, I'm drawing a blank. I think the Minnesota Vikings head coach has done
O'Connell
has done a tremendous job. Some of these younger guys, obviously McVay's been around for a while now. O'Connell, a newer head coach who's having a lot of success, or Dan Campbell. I feel like, gosh, man, like it just feels like now you're more of a, to me, that he's accepting the babysitter job rather than the head coaching job. But he is accepting it, so I should probably, in my own mind, stop feeling sorry for the guy who's probably about to make another $5 million babysitting the Dallas Cowboys for Jerry Jones.
Kevin, I'm going to ask you a real quick question, and I always love this description from Colby about you. I imagine Kevin running through his brain and just opening these little drawers and pulling things out because he's got all these drawers. So I'm gonna give you a cue. Think cars here. You've said frequently that you think that McCarthy and Zimmer are kind of disconnected, that they've kind of aged out.
Yes.
If you were to make them a model car and you were going to say that Kevin O'Connell and Dan Campbell, like I would say Dan Campbell's the new Platinum Chevy Z2. It's a beast. You know, it's one of those monsters. You just love driving that truck around. It's brand new. It's got all the bells and whistles on it. It's aggressive. And, you know, these other guys, they have that model too. What would Mike McCarthy, is he like an old GMC truck? Is that kind of like an 84 GMC?
See, I hope this is not too broad for you, but I'm going to go with the 2001 Oldsmobile Bravada, because that's when they realized, hey, I got to change things up. Like, I made it a really long way. I got to change things up. But at the end of the day, it's still an Oldsmobile, which is what there was a minute when my grandparents drove that car. I honestly thought they like only marketed to old people. This is when I was a kid. But like, I feel like they tell you they've adapted, but not really. Because like, I think that's what McCarthy said right when he got here. He's just talking about analytics. And then he got here. He's like, I mean, kind of. And you're like, I thought you said the whole thing was
actually,
like,
actually, I didn't watch every game. I was just joking about that too. So, well, we're going to start over right now. Good luck, guys.
I promise we'll get to college football. We'll get to plenty of other things. And we'll keep an eye on this.
I went to Reunion Arena last night.
Exactly. We will talk about that at 11. The double wins from the Mavs and the Stars. Coming up next, though, let's do some baseball nuggets.
Chris Young talks on Foul Territory, one of the most popular baseball podcasts, and he is a 180-degree turn from Jerry Jones. Next.
I subscribe to kind of the theory you just described, which is when we want a player, we're very aggressive in trying to pursue that player. And we try to put our best foot forward and make the best offer possible. And sometimes that's good enough and sometimes it's not. And but nonetheless, there's not a whole lot of games that we go through. It's certainly very straightforward in terms of our approach to free agency. But I think the key is just identifying the player, the right player that we want. And then sometimes there is a timing to the market that, the player isn't ready or he's still receiving offers, or maybe we're not ready. We're still feeling out the market. So there is a little give and take with it. But nonetheless, when we want someone, we try to be aggressive and really pursue pretty hard.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. That's Chris Young kind of talking about the closer position. I know it's an overarching conversation. So let's go immediately into that. Yeah. As we baseball nugget it up with Mike Bassett.
Yeah, so last night after getting back from the Maverick game, I knew that Chris Young was on Foul Territory, and I'm sorry I'm drawing a blank on everybody on the show, but AJ Pierzynski is a known name here because he was a Texas Ranger for a little bit and kind of, a player that I think most people hated when he wasn't on your team and you're okay with when he was on your team. And he obviously has a national spotlight where he calls national games, I believe on Fox. But there's other guys on there. One of his former catchers, Chris Young's former catcher. I'm sorry, I'm drawing a blank right now on the Kansas City Royals. But Chris there was talking about, they asked him a question, and it was an overall question just about kind of doing what you guys did, getting Jake Berger, getting Jock Peterson, getting Evaldi back, all these things. And then they talked about the market and how tough it is to know when to be aggressive, know when to hold back. And then is that agent just using you for your offer to take back to the team that he might really want to go to get the bigger offer that he wants from the team he wants to go to? And Chris was like, there's a lot in there, and that's the way he kind of answered it. We see how aggressive Chris Young has been since he's kind of been named the general manager and then moved to president. And obviously he did some of this with John Daniels, and now the last few years has done it without John Daniels. But it's really fun to listen to him. And I will say this, I am biased about Chris Young. We were teammates in 04 with the Rangers organization. I believe in him a lot. I know how smart he is. I also know how intense he is.
Competitive.
And when you listen to him on podcasts like this, he comes across as the total opposite of Jerry Jones. I mean, if you listen to a Jerry Jones interview here on The Fan, thank you so much. But it comes across as the complete 180 on a person running the organization from the field part of it, the football field, the baseball field. Jerry's an owner all times. He actually has no clue how to be a general manager. He's just trying to play one for fun because he can, because he owns the team. But I want to get to this. I want to get to see why on the down year last year and talking about this on the podcast Foul Territory.
Last year's down year had nothing to do with Boach as a manager. He did a tremendous job. Our staff did a tremendous job. But I think we all realized the toll that 2023 took on us, from fighting our way into the playoffs to clawing our way through the playoffs into the World Series, and just finishing the series really kind of banged up and hurt on a number of levels. We just didn't have the offseason that we needed to have, and then we got into the year. We actually got off to an okay start, and then had some injuries that derailed us and some underperformance that caught up to us. And really, I look at it from my perspective, I didn't do a good enough job of building a deep enough roster and doing the things that we needed to do to accommodate for the injuries and the underperformance. And I think we've tried to remedy that this year. We've created more competition on our roster, and I think we've got an overall deeper roster than what we had going into spring last year. So, Boach is such a wonderful manager. I want to give him the best roster possible and then let him go work his magic.
Okay. If you will allow me, because there's something that really stood out there, because that's something that I don't like, Corey. We've talked about this before, when like a coach gets fired or something happens, everyone's like, oh, he's the best. And you're like, okay, then why did the team not win? Why did you need to fire him? So I feel like Jerry says, no, Mike McCarthy's doing a great job. oh, the players are doing great. We have all the talent in the world. And you're like, then why the hell is the team losing? And right there, Chris Young's like, it's my fault. And like, whether you agree with that or not, people will argue that's what a good leader does. He goes, oh, Boach did a great job. Our players did a great job. I did a crap job of assembling this roster and building the depth needed right after a World Series appearance and obviously championship. I do love that from a GM who's like, why didn't we win? Well, there definitely is a reason, and it was me. And then he goes on to say, I'm not just going to complain about the problems. Here's how I think we fix them.
Yes. And now let's go to cut two here. The goal this offseason was return to an offensively elite team.
We came into the offseason with a couple primary goals, the first of which is to really get our offense back to being an elite offense. I think our downfall in 2024 was that we took a major step backwards offensively. And so we tried to evaluate what went well in 2023, what our current roster of personnel is capable of in terms of projections, and then trying to fill in the rest. And, you know, we immediately signed Kyle Higashioka. We felt like we needed somebody to really help Jonah Heim and split time with Jonah. We feel like we've got a great catching core. And the two of them combined, we think are going to do a great job together. And then we traded for Jake Berger. Jake is someone who we felt like has real upside, ability to hit the fastball, pretty even splits, and winning personality.
Can I pause it real quick? I'm sorry. I just want to pause it real quick. I don't know if you feel this way, Corey, and I know there's more cuts, but just two things. When he talked about the catcher, he didn't just say, hey, we're really glad we got him. Now we think it could be more of an even split, blah, blah, blah. And then when he talked about Jake Berger, he said he's got a lot of upside, which I feel like everybody says when they make an acquisition. But then he specifically dove into his ability to hit the fastball is something that our team or certain parts of the lineup have struggled with. I just love the specificity of I like this person because of this reason and this person because of this reason.
You know, Chris traveled with the team quite a bit last year. Obviously, I got to travel some with the team last year. And by the time we got to the second half after the All-Star break, anybody that we talked to that was covering the other team and then getting ready for the Ranger series, they would look at who was pitching in the series and they would say, oh, we're in good shape here. Like when you're playing the Boston Red Sox, I think they were a little bit worried because they didn't have two out of their three starting pitchers that threw 94 or harder. And the report was done. By the time you got to the trade deadline and the All-Star break, the Rangers had slider bats. What do I mean by that? If you threw the ball 94 or harder, the Rangers were screwed offensively that day. Chris isn't stupid. He knows what the scouting report against his team was and how effective it was. He had to get a team that going into 2025, the report would be, hey, you know how they were a slider bat team last year? They might still have a few of those guys in their lineup, but they eliminated some of those guys in their lineup because now I got two guys that eat fastballs for a living, and that's Berger and Jock Peterson. Obviously, Corey Seager can too. So now if we have a dude throwing 95, unfortunately, that guy's now going to have to back off of his best pitch and start throwing his secondary pitches because if you keep peppering fastballs to Seager and Berger and Jock Peterson, they're going to have extra base hits and home runs against our team.
Yes.
So now, I know there's a little bit more of that cut. Do you want to finish that cut?
Go ahead.
It's fine.
I really liked where he was going.
I like this too. We can work off of these cuts. There's a few more. Go ahead.
Somebody who we felt like would fit our clubhouse well. And then lastly, signing Jock. Jock, as I spoke to earlier, is just an infectious personality who brings this energy and this belief and conviction and has done a great job really in his role handling right-handed pitching. And in our division with the pitching, the Houston, Seattle, you know, even Oakland with their improvements and certainly Anaheim, we're going to have to be able to hit right-handed pitching. And so getting back to being an elite offense has been one of our primary goals. And we feel like with a healthy Evan Carter, a healthy Josh Young, a healthy Corey Seager, and hopefully standard performance from Adolis Garcia and Jonah Heim this year, that we can, you know, kind of get back to where we were. That's our objective.
I just wanted to throw out this. We could pick it back up later. Ian Rappaport is rapporting that Deshaun Watson ruptured his Achilles.
Ooh.
Like, as if that whole scenario wasn't crap enough.
They have the number two pick.
Variety of reasons. Ooh, let me
He had another surgery on Thursday to repair it. 3 months after that tear, it happens again.
So you start the kind of 12-month process all over again with another surgery, which makes it worse. So I think that they have the second pick, so that might lean them more towards...
That is... They do. They do.
And that's Myles Garrett, you know, saying, hey, show me the vision. Show me what you're trying to do here. And maybe that is part. I don't know financially, Kevin, how that all works. But for them, like Mike's saying, draft pick, they may have a different view now of what they got to accomplish.
I bet they do. Absolutely.
Well, yeah, and Mike likes it. There's another cut on the bullpen, and I listened to the whole thing. So he does talk about the ninth inning. And I will tell you, Chris Young, part of the interview, just to tease for 12:45, and I don't think we have this cut, which is fine. I can just tell you and preview it. He says, he talks about being pessimistic, and he never feels great about his team. Like, even now, even though he's talking about, I think we did this and did that, even talks about, I'm always thinking we're not good enough. And so it was interesting listening to him and how he's always thinking, how can I make this better? Because maybe he's always looking more at the maybe weaknesses and going, I got to fix this weakness, rather than just saying, this is the greatest Cowboys team I've ever seen in my life.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's celebrate double wins with a Mavs and Stars Super Segment next on The Fan.